Well, it's Palm Sunday, and I'm really glad that you're with us today online. You may be sitting in your living room, your family room, your dining room, your kitchen, wherever you are, we're glad you're with us online today. We're in the middle of our Easter series, One for All, or One Savior for All. A few weeks ago, Jay kicked the series off by looking at Simon from Cyrene. In week two, we talked about the convict, Barabbas. And then last week, we talked about the governor of Judea, and his name was Pilate. You see, these are just a few of the obscure people who are in the crucifixion story of Jesus. Barabbas, he escaped the cross. Simon of Cyrene, he was forced to carry the cross of Jesus. And today we're going to be looking at another character, a lesser known character, and his name is Joseph of Arimathea. Now, Joseph of Arimathea requested to have Jesus' body taken from the cross in order for he himself to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And get this, Joseph actually gave up his own personal tomb for Jesus to be buried. Now, when you stop and think about it, Joseph is really kind of a common name, right? Well, sometimes, because it's so common, people refer to other people as an average Joe, or maybe Joe Schmo, or maybe Joe Sixpack, or how about Everyday Joe, or Regular Joe? We've also got Holy Joes and G.I. Joes. We've even got Joe the Plumber. I read somewhere that around World War I, 60% of parents would name their sons Joe. But if Joe were such a popular name, why in the world do we still have today someone who's named John Doe? I mean, why don't we just call him Joe Doe? It rhymes, right? Well, but the Joe that we're talking about today in the Bible, he's not an ordinary, everyday, average kind of Joe. Don't get him mixed up, though. Don't get him mixed up with other Joes in the Bible. For example, you've got Joseph, the son of Jacob, there in the Old Testament, and he was instrumental in saving the lives of a lot of people in Israel from a famine. And then you've got Joseph, the father of Jesus. He obeyed God, and he took Mary as his wife. And then you've got Joseph in the book of Acts. Joseph of the book of Acts was also known as Barnabas. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, who in fact was a very good friend, a good friend of the Apostle Paul. And then there's another Joseph in the book of Acts, and he is, well, he's known as Joseph Barsabbas. He was a finalist to become an apostle, replacing Judas Iscariot. Now today, as I've said before, we're going to be looking at Joseph of Arimathea. And this is really interesting, I think. It's really interesting to note that most, if not all of the Josephs that we find in the Bible are actually pretty good guys. And so what's the Bible have to say about this Joseph that we're going to be talking about today? Joseph of Arimathea. Let's check out our Bibles or maybe our Bible apps. Let's turn to John chapter 19. I'll begin reading in verse 38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. And so he came, and he took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Now, what I want to do first of all this morning is to actually spend a couple of minutes to let you know, or for us to get to know, Joseph of Arimathea. And one of the ways that you get to know someone is by looking at their resume. Now, we don't have a physical resume in front of us of Joseph. However, let's try to build one so that we can know who he is. Let's imagine who Joseph is by looking at his resume. Now, the source material that we're going to get for Joseph's resume, it all comes from the first four Gospels in the New Testament. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What's the first thing we notice about Joseph? The first thing we notice about Joseph is that he's from Arimathea. Now, a few weeks ago, Jay talked about Simon of Cyrene. Where was Simon from? He was from Cyrene. You got the answer. You see, that would be modern-day Libya. Now, secular history really doesn't tell us a whole lot about Arimathea. Some people believe that it's a corruption of the Hebrew word Ramah, and that is where the prophet Samuel was born and where he actually lived. We also know, in addition to the fact that he's from Arimathea, we also know that he was very wealthy. Check out Matthew 27, 57. When it was evening, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple. You see, Joseph was a rich man. And if you have enough money, you have your own tomb actually carved into the rock. And his was on the outskirts of Jerusalem. Now, in addition to the fact that he's from Arimathea and that he's very wealthy, we also find out something else. He was a prominent member of the council. Check out Mark chapter 15, verse 43. It says it quite plainly in Mark 15, 43. Joseph of Arimathea became a prominent member of the council. Now, what does the Bible mean by that word council? Well, the word council there is another name for the great Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court of ancient Israel. You see, it was composed of 70 men plus the high priest. And the Sanhedrin met in the temple in Jerusalem almost every single day, with the exception of the Sabbath and the festival days. Now, the Sanhedrin had judicial powers that the lower courts did not have. And by the way, the word Sanhedrin comes from a Greek word which actually means sitting together. And so this is what it means for the Sanhedrin. They would sit together. They would meet together. And if we were to draw that into a modern context here in 2020, in April of 2020, these 70 men could not meet together in one room, right? They would almost have to meet in separate rooms and Zoom a meeting together or have a video conference together. However, back in ancient Israel, they would sit together and they would meet. And they would have the final word on all judicial matters brought to them. Now, Joseph of Arimathea, he took Jesus' body down from the cross. They buried it in his tomb, and he was a prominent member of the council. But even though he was a prominent member of the council, Scripture tells us that he didn't exactly consent to their actions. And if you want to, you can put that on his resume as well. He was a dissenting member. And Luke tells us about that specifically in Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 50. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. Now, the Mishnah tells us, and let's push pause because some of you might be asking the question, Lynn, what in the world is the Mishnah? Let me tell you about the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a collection of the oral tradition in the first five books of the Bible. What are the first five books of the Bible? Well, you've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, you've got Numbers, and you've got Deuteronomy. Now, the first five books of the Bible also have a name attached to them. They are called the Pentateuch. Now, you may wonder, what in the world is the Pentateuch? Well, do you recognize the word Pentagon there in Washington, D.C.? It's a five-sided building. The Pentateuch is the first five books of the Old Testament. And like I said, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this collection in the Mishnah was the oral tradition of the first five books of the Bible. And according to the Mishnah, get this, according to the Mishnah, it only took 23 members of the 70-member Sanhedrin to actually form a quorum. And so we don't know exactly who was there, but when the decisions went against Jesus, we do know of two people who were there, and they were Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They disagreed with the council. Now, I mentioned the word Nicodemus. We've looked at it in Scripture so far, but do you remember who he is? You see, Nicodemus was another secret disciple of Jesus. He met with Jesus after dark. Nicodemus was sympathetic to who Jesus was and sympathetic to the fact that he really was the Messiah. Let's check him out. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, beginning in verse 45. Let's read those verses together. The officers then came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, why didn't you bring him? That is, why didn't you bring Jesus? The officers answered, never has a man spoken the way this man speaks. And it goes on to say, the Pharisees then answered them, you have not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers or the Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to him before, being one of them, said to them, our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing. Does it? And so here you have Nicodemus. He's in the meeting of the Sanhedrin, and he questions what they are doing. He stands up for Jesus himself, and he basically says, you can't judge him before you know what he's doing, can you? And so we've got Joseph of Arimathea. We've got Nicodemus. These two guys are secret disciples of Jesus Christ. In fact, it might be these two guys who are informants who give us information about what goes on inside the Sanhedrin regarding Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, a dissenting member of the council. And here's something else about Joseph. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. Waiting for the kingdom of God. He really believed in the prophecies of the Messiah. He really believed that the prophecies and the promises of the Messiah were all coming true in Jesus Christ. And he was a religious leader for all the right reasons. He had all the right motives. Another thing from the Gospels, the Gospels tell us that Joseph of Arimathea was a good and righteous man. And at one time, that was a prime qualification to be a member of the council. You might want to call Joseph of Arimathea a closet Christian. Maybe you want to call him an undercover Christian. But whatever you might want to call him, he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And here's one more thing for his resume. I probably don't need to mention it, but I want to mention it just to make sure you don't miss it. He had Nicodemus listed on his resume as a reference. As a reference. Now, having looked at Joseph, having looked at his resume, here's what I want you to remember about Joseph of Arimathea. He would never, ever be the same after he had witnessed the cross of Jesus. He would never, ever be the same after he had witnessed the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do for the next several minutes is to show you how his life actually changed. And here's the first thing that I want to mention to you. You see, he was never the same when it came to his fear of people. He was never the same when it came to his fear of people. Look at John chapter 19, verse 38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for the fear of the Jews, he asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away the body. How in the world do you go from being a secret disciple of Jesus Christ? How do you go from being a closet Christian to actually going to the governor of Judea and requesting the body of Jesus himself? How do you do that? You see, in this moment, Joseph of Arimathea actually stepped across the line. It's no longer a secret. Check out Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, and he gathered up courage and went before Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. You see, something happened to Joseph at the cross. When Joseph was at the cross of Jesus Christ, something clicked inside of him. Something happened inside of him. After the cross, he was never the same when it came to the fear of other people. His social, his professional, his cultural environment, all of those things came into play. Check out John chapter 12. There in John chapter 12, beginning in verse 42, this is what John writes. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. And here's what I want you to see. Verse 43, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. They love the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And it's really sad to say, but that still happens today. Do you seek the approval of other people more than you seek the approval of God? Early on in his years at the University of Virginia, Ken Alzinga, he was told by another professor that if he was too explicit about his faith, it would absolutely ruin his career. Well, later on after that conversation, Ken Alzinga spoke at a campus ministry, and after that speaking engagement, he was walking across campus when he saw a picture of himself on a poster advertising the event, and that worried him. It worried him that it might hurt his chances of gaining tenure at the university. And so that night, he went where that poster was hanging, and he took the poster down. He took the poster down, he went back home. He had a night where he couldn't sleep at all. He tossed and he turned, and the next day, he went back to the campus. He went back to where that poster was, and he put the poster right back where he found it to begin with. You see, his conclusion was this. His life was not about career advancement. His life was about being faithful to Jesus Christ. You see, being private about his faith was no longer an option. And ever since then, 40 years or maybe more than that, he's been named Professor of the Year several times, and he's still a speaker in high demand. You see, pleasing an audience of one makes us less anxious and makes us more courageous. And that's what I think actually happened to Joseph of Arimathea. He wasn't afraid of any more people after the cross. Do your friends, family members, neighbors know about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do your neighbors, family members, co-workers, do they know how deeply you love Jesus Christ? A few months ago, I ran across a blog post from a blogger whose name is Jesse Rice. And Jesse Rice wrote this. It's an open letter to the fear of what others think. This is what Jesse wrote. Dear fear of what others think, I'm sick of you. It's time we broke up, and I know we've broken up and gotten back together many times. But seriously, fear of what others think, this is it. We're breaking up. I'm tired of overthinking my status updates on Facebook and trying to sound more clever and funny and important. I'm sick of feeling anxious of whatever I do or say in public, especially around people I don't know that well, all in the hope that they will like me, accept me, and praise me. I run around like a golden retriever with a full bladder. Like me, like me, like me. Because of you, what others think, I go through my day with a cloud of shame hanging over my head, and I never stop acting. The spotlight is always on, and I'm always on center stage. And I better keep dancing, I better keep posturing, I better keep moving, because when the spotlight moves, I'll dissolve into a meaningless puddle on the ground, just like the Wicked Witch and the Wizard of Oz, because I can never live up to the expectations of my imaginary audience. All of this fear of what others think, all of this is especially evil, because if I really stop and think about it, and let things go quiet and listen for the voice of God who made me and the Savior who died for me, in His eyes, I am actually profoundly precious and lovable and worthy and valuable. I find my true identity. When I find my true identity in Jesus Christ, then you turn back into the tiny, yapping little dog you really are. And so eat it. Eat it, fear of what others think. You and I are done, and I'm not interested in talking it through. I'm running and jumping and laughing you out of my life once and for all. Or at least that's what I really want. God, help me. Never, ever the same again. After Joseph of Arimathea's experience with the cross, he was never, ever the same again when it came to his fear of people. But there was something else in his life that changed. He was never the same again in regard to his financial approach. Now, we've already read Matthew 27, 57, but I want to look at that one more time. Check it out. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. Now go down the page of verses 59 and 60. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and he went away. It's one thing to let someone use your own house, someone to use your own car. It's one thing to let someone even sleep in your own bed, right? But how about your own tomb, your own burial plot? And don't misunderstand me here. It's not like Joseph had a couple of extra burial plots to burn, right? No, the Jews took this very, very seriously. It was a big deal. You see, they made burial plans for them and their family years and years in advance. They would bury their entire families together. And once a tomb was used, you couldn't sell it again. You had to get a brand new tomb. And this was a brand new tomb. It was for Joseph and his entire family. What we're talking about here, friends, is prime real estate. This was an extravagant gift. You see, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ while he was hanging on the cross. And because of that encounter, something clicked in his body, in his mind, in his heart. And he was never the same again in regard to his personal property. Never the same again in regard to his stuff. Now, virtually every single one of us have dealt with toddlers, haven't we? The favorite word of a toddler is what? The favorite word of a toddler is mine. Yeah, it's mine. And it doesn't take you very long to find out or to figure out that toddlers have rules. Rules about their property. I found the top 10 laws regarding a toddler's property. I'd like to read them for you. Here's number one. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, guess what? Yeah, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's still mine. If it's mine, it must never ever appear to be yours in any way, shape, or form. And if I'm building something, all of the pieces are mine. Number seven, if it looks like mine, it must be mine. If I saw it first, yep, it's mine. Look at number nine. If you're playing with something and you put it down, guess what? It's mine. And then number 10, if it's broken, it's yours. You see, those are the 10 property laws for toddlers. And I think in many ways, those 10 property laws for toddlers actually apply to we who are adults as well. Something clicked inside of Joseph at the cross. Do you remember this wee little man? There's Sunday school songs about him. The wee little man, Zacchaeus, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. And after he became a follower of Jesus, he was talking with Jesus, and he told him, you know what, Jesus? If I've cheated anybody out of any money, I'll give them four times the amount. Joseph gave Jesus his tomb. And stop and think about this. Jesus Christ went from a virgin tomb, a virgin womb, to a virgin tomb. And Jesus somehow, some way, brought out extreme generosity in the lives of other people that he touched. Here's one more thing. One more change that happens because of the cross. You will never be the same. Never, ever be the same in regard to your friendship capacity. And I really believe that's true when it comes to Joseph of Arimathea. Now, we're pretty sure that he and Nicodemus were friends. Look at John chapter 19 one more time, beginning in verse 39. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. And so what we see so far, we just have Joseph and Nicodemus. But guess what? There are other people as well. Check out this scripture, Mark 15:47. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph were looking on to see where he, that is Jesus, where he was laid. So not only do we have Nicodemus, not only do we have Joseph, but Joseph had other friends most likely, and the other friends are found in these two ladies. But stop and think about this for just a moment. Joseph of Arimathea is now out there. Everyone knows that he's a follower of Jesus Christ. Joseph of Arimathea most likely lost a lot of his friends in the Sanhedrin Council. But now, even though he lost those friends, now he's got these two ladies who are friends of his because of Jesus. He's got Nicodemus, who's a friend of his as well. And I'm guessing, and I'm just guessing here, but my guess is this. He's going to be friends with the disciples as well. You see, Joseph's life was never, ever the same in regards to his friendship capacity. Why? Because while he may have lost a bunch of friends because he followed Jesus, he gained a whole new set of friends because of Jesus. You see, when you truly encounter Jesus Christ, God will put people into your life. And he might put people into your life that you never thought you'd connect with before. You see, the cross for Joseph, it changed everything. No more secrets. No more fear of people. No more selfishness in regard to your personal property, in regard to your stuff, in regard to your own money, and no more exclusivity in regard to people. Now you see other people in a totally different light. You see the cross, Jesus. He changed everything about Joseph of Arimathea, and Jesus can change everything for you in your life. He can give you hope. He can give you purpose. He can give you eternal life. And we would love to talk about that. So please contact us here at Fairfield Christian and let's chat about that. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we are truly thankful for the chance that we've had this day to talk about Joseph of Arimathea, a lesser known character in the crucifixion story. But God, we can see that his life was totally changed. And God, I pray that our lives will be totally changed as well. If there's anyone, Father, who has come into contact with you and is now following you, God, I pray that they'll step up and they'll step out and let other people know. God, give us the courage. Give us the courage that Joseph had to let other people know that we are in a close relationship with you through Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.